Good morning, everybody. Oh, it's good to be together. God is good. He's with us. It's important that we don't talk about God, you know, like he's not in the room. Yeah. God's with us. God's alive. He's in the room. That's awesome. Love you, God. So today I'm talking about resurrection living. Last week was Easter Sunday, and you know it's this obviously Sunday where we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And I just thought I would kind of unpack that a little bit more. Like, what does it mean for us? What are the implications? What does it mean to walk in light of the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead? And there is so much you could kind of say on it. You know, as you think through the various kind of bits in the Bible where Jesus is raised. So he visits, there's the road to Emmaus story, Jesus appears to the disciples through the, through the locked doors, and there's another time where he's with Thomas, and then there's the bit where they have the barbecue on the beach. I was thinking, man, even just in those kind of short little kind of passages, there's so much you could explore, and there's obviously kind of Pentecost and, post that. And as I was preparing, I thought two things. I thought, let's focus on the beach barbecue, because I just think it's really, really cool. And two, I thought I'd like to hear from some other people today. So I was at the Pioneer Leaders Conference a few weeks ago, and there was this really cool talk where basically my friend Paul got lots of people to come up and do a 1 minute talk on what they think, on the topic. So we're going to do. I've asked some people ahead of time if they'd be happy to do a 1 minute talk. So you won't just be hearing from me this morning. How does that sound? Is that okay? So I just want to state categorically that I believe that Jesus is alive, which is always good. I believe that Jesus is alive for four reasons. Firstly, the historical evidence is huge. If you've never looked into it, I would recommend it. It's kind of quite a profound thing to do. And, you start exploring, well, how is it that these kind of followers of Jesus, teenagers, guys in their 20s and 30s, or, go from just being absolutely kind of terrified, disillusioned, discouraged, to then all of them, bar one, being killed for a message, that Jesus is alive. And it's a ridiculous message. And you look into things like that, you just think, it just builds up, it mounts and it mounts and it mounts. You read books like The Case for Christ or Letters from a Skeptic by, Greg Boyd. There's various kind of, just books out there that kind of take you through just the historical evidence for it. It's overwhelming. So I believe because of historical evidence, I believe partly because, although it's not like a super strong reason, because just the sheer volume of Christians, there are, I don't know how many billion people who just love Jesus and encounter and know the same Jesus that we do, that we're kind of meeting with this morning. For me, that's one reason why I believe that Jesus is risen. I also believe because there are super clever people out there who also believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that does make me feel a bit quite secure. Folks like, Tom Wright or whoever, they just write these huge volumes of, just work. They think, this is why Jesus has risen from the dead. And you think, okay, cool. Well, if you believe it, then I'm not, completely a nutter, with my group of nutter friends. So that's the third reason, is the super clever people who believe it. And the fourth reason, which for me is probably the most, which carries the most weight, is I just feel it. I went to Israel and, there's two kind of places where Jesus is reportedly raised from the dead. The two places where the tombs, basically, there's St. Peter's Basilica, and then there's the Garden Tomb. Hands up if you've been to either of those. For me, you go to the Garden Tomb, it's just St. Peter's is pretty nuts. And then you go to the Garden Tomb, it's super peaceful, and there's all these kind of reasons why this is the location. And you can kind of look at either of them, and you're kind of arguing them in your head, is it this place, is it not? And I just, I was just sitting there, just the sun shining on my face. And I was like, Jesus, is this where you were? And to me, it just, in that moment, it did not matter at all. And I just felt it. I just felt like, I know that Jesus has risen from the dead because I just feel this light of hope and goodness shining, radiating in the core of my being. And I just felt like God say, I'm risen. And you know it. You feel it. Does anyone else relate to that? When you just think about, like, the world, you know, and just, there is just so much out there that it could be so discouraging or so dark, you know, whether it's, you know, political conflict and what's going on with the Chinese president or Putin or, you know, whatever's going on around there, that just kind of freaks you out. On one level, you can get so discouraged, but on another level, you just have this core, there's a light shining in this world that will not be put out, and it's shining in my heart, and I just feel it. I just feel it. Those are my four reasons that I believe in the resurrection. Any other reasons? Word of God. Good point, Mike. Thank you. The historical evidence, like that kind of, I'd link that in with that. The Bible's like a historic, it's a historically like weighty, you know, book. Okay, so time for 1 minute talks. Can we get the stop clock on? So what we're going to do, right, guys, is the stopwatch is going to go up on the screen. So go bigger. Okay. And what's going to happen is, I've asked some friends to talk about, like, so Jesus raised from the dead, so what? Like, what are the implications for me? What are the implications for us? So they've got a minute, and they've got a minute exactly. And as it goes down, as it gets to zero, everyone just has to clap and cheer and just cut them off, basically, if they're not, if they're not finished. And then maybe if we're, like, you know, really enthralled by, like, what they're saying, we might give them a bit of grace and hear what they're saying. So, okay, we'll start with Peter Nelson. Do you want to come up?
Hello, everyone. All right, so I was recently reminded of a conversation I had with Colin Barnes in the car before I was about to head off to university. So he was telling me about, it's a time when a lot of young people are really starting to ask a lot of big questions. You know, they're not sure who they really are, what their purpose is in the world. But it made me realize that I've never had to ask those questions myself. I've never really struggled with my identity, and the reason is because of my faith. I know why I'm here, it's because God made me and he made the world. I know who I am, I'm a child of God, and I know what my purpose is in life. Or even if I don't know the specific path, I know that whatever I do, God will be there with me, so it doesn't necessarily matter because I know that he's there. So because of Jesus dying, I can have that relationship with God. And... yeah...
Nice one. Okay, who's next? Sandra.
So Jesus is raised from the dead. What does that mean to me? What I've decided to do is tell you the first thing that came into my head when Dave asked me this question. So to demonstrate it, I'm just going to read a scripture to you that sums up what that means to me. And ironically, it's an actually Old Testament scripture, which I don't have a problem with because I interpret it through what Jesus did. And that is that he's given me total access to the Trinity through his death and resurrection, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read this to you quickly. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. I trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And for me, that's it. Refuge, rock, fortress, immovable. He's that in my life. It's not.
Please turn to John 21, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 14. Okay, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of David, Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you. They went out and immediately they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood out on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then, classic Peter, by the way, just let all the others do all the work. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and Jesus and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I like flipping love this. This story makes me really proud of Christianity. It's just totally like my vibe. You think there's the God, you know, of the cosmos, and he's here for this limited time. And how does he end it? Like, he's ending it with a barbecue on the beach with his buddies. It's cool factor 10. Yeah. It's just so cool. I just love that about, like, Christianity. It's just relational. It's fun. It's chilled out. It's not too intense. What do I learn from God about this? For me, firstly, it's the divine doing it again and again. The divine honoring the human. And we see that again, you know, in the incarnation itself. Jesus becoming flesh, that is the ultimate honoring of humanity. But the way that Jesus was again and again, being with the outcasts, the underdogs, giving dignity to those who knew no dignity, washing people's feet. And the way that, you know, he could have just risen and gone, ta-da, I'm risen, everyone, and everyone's just gone through all this trauma, all this pain, all this just absolutely just awful, awful trauma that the guys have just gone through. And instead of just, you know, he could have just come as a light orb in the sky and just, ta-da! But he didn't. He came and he was with people. And he gave his friends the time of day to process, to talk, to dialogue, to question, to heal. He honored humanity in the barbecue. Secondly, what do I learn about God through this story? I learn that, like, God is at work no matter what the mess is. So right in this moment, I imagine it would have been absolutely heavenly. Just on the beach, at sunrise, having a barbecue with your mates. It's just heavens on earth. And yet, all around them, the world is in an absolute state. You know, there's Roman rule. There's like, you know, there's brutal, unjust government. You know, if you looked elsewhere, you'd be deeply discouraged. You think, where the hell is God? Why isn't God doing anything about all these people who are suffering and getting, you know, just killed completely unjustly? Where is God? And there's a lesson for us there, I think, which is, I remember Bill Johnson saying it like years ago, I focus on what God is doing rather than what God isn't doing. And then I live from a place of encouragement. And that's a lesson for us there. Because right in this moment, heaven is touching earth. And God is at work. And it's a precious, precious thing. But everywhere else you think, It's discouraging. And I think we can take encouragement from that, guys, in our lives. Let's not necessarily just focus, let's not get discouraged by focusing on what we don't, where we don't see God at work. Let's focus on the places where heaven is touching earth. And let's draw our strength, let's draw encouragement from those places. What else do I see in this story? I don't really want to necessarily explore kind of the amazing miracle and of the catching of the fish and all of that could kind of symbolize. What I see is I see kind of a picture here of the disciples. They're just doing what they know to do. They're out there, they're fishing. And fishing can be exciting. Suddenly as I started talking about fishing, I was aware of Roger. Yeah. Who's like...
It can be exciting.
I was going to say, fishing to me seems really boring. The disciples are doing what they know to do. And, you know, for them, I think not catching any fish, that's pretty mundane. And then what happens is they have a really exciting, extraordinary time doing what they're doing. And then after both of those things, Jesus, he invites them, says, come to the shore, let's hang out. And I think there's a picture there for us, guys, that in life, sometimes we're just in the mundane and we're just going about the business and it's just like not catching any fish, just getting on with life. It's just mundane and that's okay. And other times we're in times of extraordinary and we're in the place of God's at work and I don't know what's going on and I can't get my head around this and it's exciting. And that's okay. And we could be somewhere in between or neither of those. But after both of those, either way, there's an invitation to come and encounter God. When we're in the exciting, when we're in the extraordinary, there's still an invitation to encounter God. When we're in the mundane, there's an invitation to know Jesus. And that is our God. Our God is not a God of distance. Right from the start, he's wanted friendship. And we see it again here. God wants friendship with you, Nigel. He wants friendship with you, John. He wants friendship with you, Matt. Joe, God wants to be a friend. Okay, it's time for another 1 minute talk. Matt Oldham.
Ready? Go. So, I'm going to go early. So Dave actually asked me, if Jesus rose from the dead, what would that mean for my life? So the question starts with if, for that means there's some uncertainty and some lack of proof. And I like proof and certainty. And I'm really argumentative and I like to prove things. Colin said last week that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we're all wasting our time. So the stakes are really high and everything about the if goes against my natural inclination. So how did I get here? Well, I had to let go of something. I had to use a different muscle, my faith. And having faith means letting go of some uncertainties that give me comfort, letting go a bit and accepting that I can't control everything, and that's not always easy. So, Charlie, I'm on a path too.
Boom! Okay, Alison Hopkinson.
Are you ready? What does it mean to live in the resurrection of Jesus? To me, it means one thing. Jesus lives, Jesus loves. Jesus loves every single one of us. Jesus' love never fades, never fails. Jesus' love is reliable. But I'll let you into a secret. We're not supposed to have special ones. But Jesus loves me more than anyone else. But I'll let you into a second secret. Namisha, he loves you more than anyone else. Anthea, he loves you more than anyone else. Lina, you're his special one. You're his special child. Every one of us has Jesus loving us to abundance. He loves us so much. It says in Isaiah, your name is written on the palm of his hands. Wowza! Jesus loves us so much. He loves all of us as your very special child. How can we remember that on a daily basis? Because if we live a life where we know Jesus loves us, we're living in the fullness of his resurrection, of his life. Amen.
Awesome. Right. Chloe Jones.
When Jesus was raised to life, I believe he brought us all along with him, reconciling us and all of the rest of creation to himself. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, this reconciliation, this new gift of life, is a new gift of life, and that now he commits all of us to go out with a ministry of reconciliation to the rest of the world. So for me, this ministry is about us taking actions as well as speaking words that mend broken relationships between ourselves, creation, and God. And there are many different examples of this, but I read something this week that came to mind. In Mumbai, a huge volunteer team have cleared 5,000 tons of litter from a 2-mile stretch of beach. As a result, a vulnerable turtle species has been spotted on the beach for the first time in 20 years. They've been nesting, and now 80 hatchlings have so far successfully made their way into the Arabian Sea. And I thought this was a lovely example of reconciliation which brings glory to God.
So we're on the beach. And what I'd like us to do is just to close our eyes and just imagine. Let's imagine what it would have been like to be there. So maybe just take some deep breaths. I'm just going to say some thoughts which I wrote down, but I just want to encourage you to create your own thoughts. So just imagine you're sitting there, and the sun, you know, is rising. You feel the heat, the warmth on your body. The sunlight is glistening over the sea. There's the sound of the birds singing in the nearby trees, and the crackle of the fire. The sound of laughter coming from the conversation of your friends. And in the air, there's the smell of grilled fresh fish and fresh bread. The smell of smoke from the fire. And in that moment with Jesus, what do you feel? What do you feel? You know, when I was thinking about that, I felt a deep, deep sense of peace. I felt a deep sense within me that a new day has truly dawned. That light is shining brightly in my heart. And I feel hope again. And I didn't think that'd be possible after the way that I'd been feeling recently. I'd be feeling this light that's shining is not just a light that's in my heart, it's a light that's shining in the world, one that's never going to be put out, and one that's somehow connected to this guy who's with me, this Jesus. As I sit there, what goes through my mind is I just think, flip, man, this is just beautiful. This is like, it's so ordinary, and yet it's holy. Here and now, friendship is holy. Here and now, breakfast is sacred. Now I want you to imagine standing up and just walking over to Jesus. And your eye catches his eye. What would it have been like to look into Jesus' eyes? I see kindness in his eyes. I see strength. I see peace. I see a warmth. I see courage. I see vision. I see love. I see love for me. When I look at Jesus, I just see a man. A man with breath and hair and sweat. Facial expressions. But I see a man who's walking in tune with God. And something in me just says, I want to try and emulate that. I want to try and emulate that. And now just imagine, like, looking down from his face and just looking down and just seeing as he gives me the bread or the fish, he's got those scars on his hands and feet. And what goes through my head is just like, wow, they're somehow like beautiful. That God has healed and God has mended pain and brutality and torture. But he hasn't just kind of done away with all memory of it. But he's here. There's a beautiful healing that's taken place. And as I see those scars, as I see those hands and those feet, something within me, again, just finds an anchor of hope. Hope for my healing from the areas of pain and brokenness in my life. Hope for healing for the world. Just to take a moment and, in your imagination, if you're kind of in that place and you're on the beach and you're with Jesus, then just in your imagination, why don't you just kind of dialogue a little bit? Just a minute or so.
So, I was going to talk about 1 Corinthians 15 and the fact that the resurrection is a reality, it is a historical reality. And in the days when, after 48 years of being a Christian, I still kind of think, have days when I go, actually, does God really exist? There is something solid that we can always go back to. But I actually, instead of saying all of that, I want to just repeat a couple of things that Dave just said. Friendship is, because of this, friendship is holy. Friendship with God is made possible. That he's redeemed us in this resurrection, in this wonderful story on the beach. He redeems as well the whole thing of relationship with each other and makes it in some way holy and something that reflects his character and reflects him. And because of this, this breakfast even is sacred. In his life, death and resurrection, Jesus has redeemed our humanity and every single minutiae of our life and made it in some way sacred and something that he's involved in.
Thank you. Joe.
Okay, so I decided to do like a really quick Bible study in a way, a 1 minute Bible study. So I took this out. So they gave him, Luke 24:42-43. So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, you may just look over this and think, oh, this is just a random part. But I think this is really cool because it shows that he's just come back. He's resurrected. And he's just asking for food. And it's like, it's a bit weird because you don't normally when you come back and you kind of like say all these massive things. But instead, he's just asked for food. And I think it shows how he's kind of a friend and how he didn't. He didn't ask us, like other religions, to sacrifice anything else. He sacrificed himself for us.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So, lastly, Jesus, he gathers the disciples together. And they eat. And they eat bread and fish. And to me, if I was one of the disciples, that would be a profound reminder of the adventures that we'd had together. I think bread and fish, that immediately just triggers feeding the 3,000, feeding the 5,000. And they would have been in a place where they were ready to just sack it all in. They would have been in a place where they just really just wanted to throw in the towel. They were knackered, they were traumatized. They were on one level they were done, and they can look back and go, that was great. What an adventure. How great was it to follow Jesus? What next? Well, probably best get back to our careers, just what we know to do. Let's go fishing. And as they eat the bread and the fish, I think there would have been a profound stirring within them. Firstly, that stirring would have been, remember what's gone on. Remember what God has done. And that's important for us, guys. As we draw aside, hang out with Jesus, whatever we do, we've got to remember. We've got to remember what God has done. And we've got to let that point to what God will do. So some of us are in transition at the moment. I'm in transition. There's lots of us who are in transition. There are some of us who are thinking, there's some great things that have happened in the past. God's done some great stuff, and I've seen some cool stuff happen. But you know what? I'm just gonna do what I know to do going forward. And I feel like God is saying to us, God was speaking to me through the story, remember what I've done. Remember what I've done, and let that stir you. Let that stir you to adventure. Through that meal, I believe there was dialogue, there was questions, there was answers. And Jesus, it was part of the process that called the disciples to go again, to adventure again, to keep doing the stuff. And we're here today because they did, because they responded to that. The loaves and the fish point to what God has done, but they also point to what God will do. There's a call in the meal to adventure. There's a call to just not retire. You know, they would have retired. Some people in the room are thinking of retiring. Practically, you may have retired, obviously, from jobs and stuff, but retiring in the kingdom. Retiring with adventuring with God. And you can retire if you want to. I don't want to retire. I keep adventuring with God. It looks different for everyone. Okay. Is there anyone I asked who hasn't done their 1 minute talk? Are you going to do one? You won't, were you, Al? No, good. Okay. Is that okay? Okay. What we're going to do, we'd like to pray. As I was thinking about this time, I was thinking about, for me, if I was going to sum it up, the resurrection of Jesus, what does it mean to me? It means a light shining in my heart, a light of hope shining in my heart. If you are in a place where you just feel that light has gone out, you know, the light was shining, but now actually just there's a light that's in your heart, a light of hope. You just knackered, or you just got beaten up, or whatever's happened, actually the light's gone out. This morning, God wants to put the light on. I wanted to say that in a better way. He wants us to shine. He wants to just blow fresh Holy Spirit and, you know, turn the embers into a flame. So that's the first thing. If you just want to shine again, you want that resurrection light in your heart to burn brightly again, I'd like to encourage you to stand, and we'll pray for you. Jacob, do you want to get up and just maybe start playing some stuff? That'd be good. I think one thing that we didn't touch on, which I also think that God wants to do, is a huge part of the resurrection, is doing away with the fear of death. So if anyone, you know, has within them just really, really scared of dying, then I think that's something that which Jesus wants to take away from you. He doesn't want us to live scared and to live scared of dying. And you may, with some of these things, you might not actually want to stand, and that's okay. You know, just grab a friend and just pray with a friend. But God's with us. He's here. He's all around us. And he's calling us to encounter. Ooh! That's my reader proverb alarm. It goes off at 12 every day. I can't actually turn it off. Even if you turn your phone on silent, it's still... It's really annoying. Yeah. So let's... How about we close our eyes? Let's just posture ourselves to meet with Jesus, hey? Jesus, I just want to thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you've risen from the dead, that we are called, you've called us to adventure, to live in tune with your resurrection. Thank you for the profound sense of hope that gives each one of us. And as we journey with you, I just ask that you would, your resurrection light would shine brightly in our hearts this morning. Jesus. I don't want to rush, so I just like if we could just relax and just kind of posture ourselves just to meet with Jesus, that'd be great. Holy Spirit, just honor you, just welcome you here. The gift of Christ. Thank you. Just invite you fresh. Just to come and just do stuff this morning in our hearts and minds. And if while I was talking, you know, as I talked about, you know, the light going out and Jesus wanted to turn the light on again, or if I was talking, you know, the whole, you know, being scared of dying thing kind of resonated with you, then I do encourage you just to be brave and just to take a kind of a step. This is just a totally safe space. We're just a family. Just to stand. Stand before Jesus. Just to stand before Jesus right now. Yeah, thank you guys. what I'd like to do is just if you're near that person, then I just if you're near someone who's standing, just go over and just gently just kind of just pray with them, just minister just Jesus and the Holy Spirit to them, just bless them.
So the impact of light for you that are standing is also around warmth. Light brings heat and warmth and security and clarity and direction and purpose. So we pray into you warmth right now. Right in the core of who you are, where there is coldness or darkness, we place warmth and light. Light is about revelation. Light is about seeing. And we pray sight into the core of who you are. And where there's been a fog and where there's been a greyness, where there's been a wall, there's been a deep wall in one of you. That wall gets broken now. Just gets broken right now over you. And the fog clears. And the mask goes. And the truth comes. For light is truth. Light is truth, my friends. Light is truth. So we speak truth into you. That Father is with you. And will illuminate your path.
Cool. So as we, you know, as we just continue just to love and, you know, pray for our friends, we're just going to give a little bit of time just to gently worship. And feel free to stand, to join in, to sit and process or pray or talk with a friend of, you know, about, you know, what might have been impactful for you today or what might have been helpful to hear. But yeah, I'm just going to hand over to these guys and just take a little bit of time.